right, when you had these emergency field hospitals that looked like something that you would see in a World War II movie, because the hospitals were overwhelmed. So prioritize zones, orange, yellow, red, with hospitalization rate by the capacity in that. Yellow, orange, red zones, adding the hospitalization factor and the hospitalization rate, and coming up with a plan to keep schools open, especially K to 8, where we can do it safely, and operationalizing a vaccine plan for the state. The vaccine plan is not going to happen tomorrow. A lot of people say, well, the COVID problem's over. We have a vaccine. Yes, we have a vaccine. But that doesn't mean the COVID problem is over. I will guarantee you it will be months and months before we distribute enough vaccine to actually solve the COVID problem. I've been speaking. It's going to be very hard. This afternoon, I'm going to speak again with Joe Biden COVID advisory team. And I'm going to be talking to them about just this, how hard it is for the states to administer the vaccine program and what states actually need to do. But I can tell you it's going to be much harder than anticipated. Think about this fact. 9 months, everyone across the country has been focused on one thing, doing COVID tests. Every hospital, every drugstore, every doctor's office, it's been an all hands on deck to administer COVID tests. A COVID test is relatively simple, right? Nasal swab to the nose, that's a COVID test. With everyone doing everything they can, in 9 months, the nation administered 180 million COVID tests nationwide, 180. To do vaccinations, you have to do 330 million vaccinations. And you have to do them twice. If it took you 9 months to do 183 million COVID tests, how long is it going to take you to do 330 million vaccinations? You do the math. But it's not an easy process at all. The current vaccine plan that's on the table is going to have to be improved. First, the states are responsible for the distribution. The states are going to need funding. The states are broke, to use a technical term. Washington never approved the state and local funding. They estimate that the cost to the states to distribute a vaccine, National Guard's people, trucks, vans, refrigeration, advertising, $8 billion. So far, the federal government has provided $200 million. Second, it's not like everyone's going to say, okay, here I am, give me the vaccine. Kaiser poll, which is a healthcare foundation, non-political, 62% of the people said they were skeptical about the vaccine because they thought that the approval was politicized. 62%. Now, we're going to set up a state panel that will affirm the federal approval to try to give people comfort. But just think about that number. 62% said they think the vaccine is politically approved. How many people are going to refuse to take the vaccine until you explain to them that it's actually safe? Third, and this is a real problem, there have been no provisions to fund the distribution to Black, brown, poor, and rural communities. No public education effort, no outreach effort, and no supplemental distribution effort. It's not going to be as easy as saying, go to your local national drug chain and you can get the vaccine. A lot of places don't have the same access to healthcare facilities. That's what caused the disparity in the death rate to begin with. You want to hear something frightening and something that should trouble everyone? Death rate from COVID was twice as high in the black community than the white community. Two times more blacks died than whites from COVID. 1.5 times more browns died from COVID than whites. Look at that disparity. Why? More blacks, browns, and poor people had underlying health conditions because there are health disparities in this nation. 1.7 times more likely to have diabetes, 1.4 times more likely to have hypertension, 1.3 times more likely to have an obesity issue, 3 times more likely to have asthma. Why? Because they don't have the same access to health care. And now we're going to go to that same health care apparatus to do the vaccinations after you know that it is uneven and discriminatory in this nation? It makes no sense. There are just fewer health care private facilities in black, brown, poor, and rural communities. That's why they have more underlying conditions. That's why you have twice the death rate in the black community. So you have to recognize the mistake and the injustice, especially when it comes to the vaccine. If you're going to prioritize the vaccine, shouldn't you be prioritizing it for the communities that have the higher death rate? Majority of black zip codes, 67% more likely to have a shortage of primary care doctors. This is a social justice and racial justice and economic justice issue. The NAACP, any introduction of a vaccine plan devoid of the infrastructure we know is effective within the black community reinforces the same incompetence that has affected so many thus far. Urban League, Mayor Mark Morial, the current administration's plan is thoughtless, careless, and needs to be taken back to the drawing board. So, this vaccine is not tomorrow and is not as easy as we think, and it has to be done fairly and equitably, and it has to correct for the mistakes that we have made so far. For today, the focus is Thanksgiving. There's a lot to be thankful for this year. We give thanks to the way New Yorkers have come together and the spirit of community that has managed this COVID illness. New Yorkers have done an incredible job. That's not rhetorical. That's on the facts. We had the highest infection rate in the United States of America. And now we have one of the lowest infection rates in the United States of America. Who did that? Who took us from the highest rate to one of the lowest? New Yorkers did it. Because it's all about the behavior and the actions of New Yorkers. What New Yorkers do determines the infection rate in this state. Their actions, their discipline, their respect, that rate next week. It's a pure function of social responsibility. We talk about community action, social action. This is it. What a community does is the infection rate in that community. And New Yorkers have done an incredible job. You look at where we are today. New York has an infection rate of about 2.9%. The only states with a lower infection rate Vermont, Hawaii, and Maine. Now, Vermont, Hawaii, and Maine, beautiful states, I've been to all three. Less density, less urban, fewer cities. After us, the entire United States, it has a higher rate. The entire United States has a higher rate. Wyoming, 57%. South Dakota, 43%. And by the way, that's without the density of New York. And that's without the fact that we were at 50% at our height. They are now higher than we were at our height. How incredible is that? And that's all because New Yorkers are smart. And we gave them the information and they acted intelligently. Added issue, Thanksgiving travel. If anyone's coming from another state into New York, they're coming from a higher infection rate place. And they pose, by definition, more of a threat. Connecticut is at 5.4%. Massachusetts, 2.97%. Delaware, 5.2%. New Jersey has a higher percentage than we do. So all the surrounding states are higher than we are. But I give thanks for the intelligence and the action of New Yorkers. This Thanksgiving, though, we have to stay smart. We can't let our guard down. We have to work together to keep the infection rate down through the Thanksgiving holiday. And, I can be smart. I know what I have to look out for. Oh, really? 24%, according to the CDC, people who gave COVID to someone else never had symptoms. You don't have to have symptoms. It's not like you're going to walk into a person who's sneezing and coughing and is obviously sick. 24% never develops symptoms. 35% of the transmission is from pre-symptomatic, which means you had COVID, you had no symptoms. I'm going to be with my family. My family's safe. My family would never infect me. They don't have to know. It's not that they have to be malicious or reckless. My brother would never do that to me. My sister would never do that to me. They don't have to know. They don't have a symptom. That's why this disease is so insidious. 35% never had a symptom, but yet they're going to spread the disease. You can't just assume because you have no symptoms that you're safe. That's why the advice here in New York, no more than 10 people, celebrate, but celebrate with your household, meaning the people who you have had in your household. Not invite over Uncle John, Aunt Nancy, Aunt Marie, they're part of my household. No, your household is who you are currently living with. And this is not a political issue. Today, this nation is so divided, more divided than it's ever been. And it's so divided politically. Everything is a political division, every issue. This is now a political symbol. How did this become a political symbol? Well, if you're a Democrat, you wear this. If you're a Republican, you don't wear this. If you're a Democrat, you support this. If you're a Republican, you don't support this. This is about public health. I don't care about your politics. I really don't care about your politics. And you don't care about mine. I care about your health. I care about if we're overwhelming our hospital system. I care about how many people die. That's what I care about. Forget the politics. It's over. The election's over. And even through the political lens, CDC is Donald Trump's administration. Donald Trump's CDC says celebrate only with your household. That's Donald Trump. Joe Biden's COVID advisors say the exact same thing. So even if you're in this political mindset, I can't trust the other side, I can't trust Democrats, I can't trust Republicans, they both agree on this issue. Celebrate only with your household. They both agree. So even in this hyper-political moment, this is the one thing both sides agree on. And by the way, can you name one other thing that Donald Trump and Joe Biden agree on? One other thing? I can't. They both agree on this advice. So this is not a political fight. It's the one thing everybody agrees on. And the one thing everybody agrees on is this is not a normal Thanksgiving. Well, on Thanksgiving, my Uncle Joe always comes over. Yeah, I understand that. This is not a normal Thanksgiving. It wasn't a normal Labor Day. It wasn't a normal Memorial Day. It's not a normal summer. It's not a normal anything. This is not a normal Thanksgiving. And to act like it's a normal Thanksgiving is to deny reality. Of every health expert in the nation, Democrat or Republican, well, I know better. Well, then you know better than every public health expert on both sides of the aisle in the United States of America. So I don't know what to tell you, but I think that this is not a normal Thanksgiving. I think it's a special Thanksgiving. And rather than the commercialized Thanksgiving, let's think about a spiritualized Thanksgiving. And let's think about what Thanksgiving really means as a matter of principle. We have a lot to be thankful for. I mentioned the National Guard. We have a lot to be thankful for the people who we lost during COVID. The essential workers who showed up to keep us safe, who left their homes so everyone else could stay in the safety of their home. The bus drivers who showed up, the doctors who showed up, the nurses who showed up, the utility workers who showed up, many of whom died so other people could stay home. Think of how many thousands of families are celebrating Thanksgiving without a loved one this year. There are tens of thousands of families celebrating without a loved one. People who gave their life during COVID to help others. That's something to be thankful for. And remember the less fortunate. Everyone has to do their part. That's why we have this very attractive and pithy fashion statement mask that I know you are all jealous of. I can see it on your face. Don't be a turkey. Wear a mask. You know, New Yorkers, we cut to the chase. We say it as it is. Don't be a turkey. Wear a mask this Thanksgiving. Be smart. Let's get past this. Let's get through the winter. Get the vaccination done. And then the end is in sight. But we're not there yet. They say run through the tape. We have to finish it. Get through Thanksgiving, get through the holiday season, get through the winter, get vaccinated, and then we'll get on with life. Don't be a turkey. Questions?
Governor, the health commissioner here in Monroe County has said that they have not contact traced a single case of COVID-19 back to a gym, a hair salon, or a barber shop yet. Today, as we go into the orange zone right here, those are the people most impacted by the new restrictions. I asked you about this on a phone call last week and you pointed to national statistics. But I guess the understanding of the micro cluster zones was to drill down locally into what's causing the spread. If that is not causing the spread, why are these people the most impacted?
I don't know what the local health department, let me do it the other way. Where do they say this spread is coming from?
What you said, living
Yeah. Well, every expert says the same thing. Every expert, every state, right? Democratic states, Republican states, big states, small states, Democratic experts, Republican experts. The highest rates of spread are gyms, restaurants, bars, gyms, home gatherings. The situation where you actually have the least control is home gatherings. CDC says only your household. How would you ever enforce that? I don't know. That's Donald Trump. Joe Biden says celebrate only with your household. We have a rule no more than 10. That is very, very hard to enforce. Bars, restaurants, gyms, you can enforce. Those are the four main spreaders. So what you do what you can with those four main spreaders. If that is true, what the Monroe Health Department says, that is a national anomaly. I can tell you that. Do you know, either of you guys know more than that?
I don't know what the Monroe County Health Department said specifically, but remember the approach. It's about the high-risk activities, the low-risk activities. When you're in a beauty salon getting your nails done, if you're getting your hair cut, you, by definition, can't be socially distanced. You're indoors where the air circulation isn't as great. You're in closer proximity to one another. Same thing in gyms. Obviously, when people are working out, they're breathing much more heavily. People are on machines. Hopefully, they should be socially distanced if they are following the protocols, but it's not all instances you are. And the issue is you're trying to decrease the rate of spread. When you're seeing these, when you're hitting these percentages, there's a greater chance of community spread. And so what you're trying to do is you're trying to address, as the governor said, businesses that are higher risk, that are known to cause spread of infection, because you don't necessarily know every single contact trace, every single source of infection. So those are three areas that we know from the duration of COVID that has spread. And so what you're trying to do is to stop the community spread and lower the chance that you're going to continue to cause spread. So you are closing businesses where there's a greater chance of spread by virtue of the closeness of the people that are working with one another, that are doing in-person services, or again, like in gyms where if you're breathing more heavily, you're closer in contact with one another. The restrictions are great, and we saw at moments through this for months and months and months that the restrictions have worked. But what you're seeing in these areas with these spikes is that there's a greater prevalence of community spread. And so when there's a greater prevalence of community spread, yes, these things are helpful, but they're not bulletproof.
Well, a leveling off, when the line is going like this, and then the line changes and levels off, that is working. You're right. You'd love to see up, level, down, but level is working, right? Because that was an arrow headed straight up. Well, we're watching the numbers. We're going to watch through this Thanksgiving season. This is where I think if we're going to get into trouble, you're going to see it a few days, 7 days after this Thanksgiving weekend. You'll start to feel the number. We're also going to be doing... we've been advised to do now a winter plan, which adds factors to the yellow, orange, red, primarily hospitalization rate. We have to prioritize hospital beds. We have to make sure we don't overwhelm hospitals. and we don't go back into the emergency field hospitals. So we're going to watch the numbers over Thanksgiving. We're going to add in factors in the yellow, orange, red zones, primarily hospitalization rate, and prioritize those zones that are generating the highest hospitalization rate. And then we'll have announcements. The great fear is two things: overwhelm the hospital system and people die. Those are the, you want to get to the bottom line fears. Those are the fears. Overwhelm the hospital system, people die. Just going back to Monroe for a second. You had 75 people hospitalized November 4th. You went to 268. That's a 257% increase. It's one of the highest increases in the state of New York. What happened? And if they knew what was causing it, why didn't they stop it?
Well, like you said, it'd be difficult to enforce the 10-person gathering.
So there's in the 257% increase all came from small gatherings?
I'm just telling you, the health commissioner said that he has not contact traced one case back to the
Yeah. Care. Well, then I would say to the health commissioner, you have a 257% increase. Obviously, you haven't figured out what's causing it, and if you have, you haven't stopped it. But if that continues, you will overwhelm the hospital system in a matter of weeks.
I have another question regarding microclusters. So we have some businesses going at the last today. We've seen some news where there could be a business in orange on one side of the street, a business in yellow on the other side. And you said microclusters work. Some people are wondering, are they as effective upstate as they are downstate? And if so, do you need to go over to the
It's just as easy downstate. There's no difference. Downstate you also have across the street because you have to draw the line somewhere, right? And wherever you draw the line, there's always going to be somebody on the other side of the street. That is an unavoidable situation. I mean, just think about it. You're focusing and defining a zone. You have to draw a line around the street. And yeah, then there's always somebody on the other side of the street or one block away. That is an unavoidable consequence.
I mean, in New York City, it's actually worse, right? Because in New York City, like literally it's drawn on a street and you're in an area where everyone's walking and it's even more dense.
And I would add as well, we've seen in upstate, Broome County is a good example, and other places where zones have been implemented and you've seen positivity, new cases per capita, hospital daily hospital admissions reduced in a significant way. So this is both the restrictions, it's also a message to the community that you have a serious issue here in your community, and if action is not taken, the restrictions will get tighter because we have to. As the governor said, it's about the hospital system, it's about saving lives, and if we don't take this action now, we know what's coming ahead. We know what the projections show is coming ahead.
Of course, yeah, sure, they will. But the main point of the microcluster zone is this. Number one, the variance on the infection rate statewide is incredible. You can take one, even downstate, Manhattan, in Manhattan, at one area, you have some neighborhoods that are at 0.6. You have some neighborhoods in Manhattan five times the infection rate. 2 miles away. The way your community acts makes a difference. And that's why the microcluster points that out. You on 152 Main Street, you have a 4% infection rate. This is not in the abstract, Monroe County, the city of Rochester. 152 Main Street, you have a problem. I live on 152 Main Street. Yeah, I know. It's your house is in that zone. Oh, I better be careful. I better be careful when I go to the store. I better be careful when I get on the bus. Yeah, you better be. So it brings it to a focus where people actually get it, and then you can improve it in your community. Once that attention goes up, you mean it's my neighborhood? Yeah, your neighborhood. Not her neighborhood, your neighborhood. That focus, that attention, because it's just your behavior. Okay, now you got my attention. I'm going to be more careful. And I think that's one of the reasons why you see it coming down, because it's just a sense of awareness. If you wear this thing, if you're careful, the number comes down. And that's what the microcluster does. It says, your house, your block. And I think not only does it affect your behavior, you talk to your household, you talk to your children, you talk to your neighbor, you hear that we have four times the rate. No, I didn't hear. You go to your grocery store, you say to your grocer, you know, you're supposed to be keeping people apart. You go to the cleaners, you say, you know, you're supposed to be keeping people apart. And we've seen zones, once they're aware it's them, because, you know, people here in Monroe County, that's everybody else. That's not me. That's not my neighborhood. No, it's your neighborhood. And once people are aware of that, it changes their behavior. Also, we don't want to slow any businesses. We don't want to slow any hair salons. So if you know that it's one neighborhood, but it's not a neighborhood half a mile away, then don't restrict the businesses half a mile away. Only restrict the businesses in that area, which is better and smarter and fairer. Why didn't we do this before? Because remember, before it was the entire region. Because we have more data now. Before, we didn't have that kind of data. It was Buffalo, Rochester, Western New York was just, you know, one region. We have done almost, think about this, we've now done almost as many COVID tests as there are people in the state of New York. That's how many tests we've done. So we have a map with every COVID positive test. And you can look at that map and you can see right where they are. So what we say is when you see an intense cluster, that's a microcluster zone. And put a circle, not really a circle, whatever the shape of that cluster is, that's a zone. Don't affect the people half a mile away because they're fine. But tell those people in that area, you're not fine. Beware. Your neighbor may be infected. The kids your kids are playing with may be infected. And once they hear that and they get that message and they change their behavior, we've seen them drop. Not always, but sometimes. Federal government has to pass a stimulus plan. You can't say to New Yorkers or Virginians or Texans, your choice is go to work and earn a check or die. That's not America. That's not America. You can't say your choice is the economy or public health. My point was a simple and inarguable one. On the numbers, Western New York has not been hit as hard as downstate New York was. That is a fact. It's just a fact. Did we lose people in Buffalo? Yes. Did we lose as many people in Buffalo as a matter of percentage as we've lost in New York City? No. Was the problem much worse in New York City? Yes. Was it much, did people feel it more intensely in New York City because the numbers were so much higher? Yes. That's just on the numbers. On the numbers. New York City, you heard sirens all night long. New York City, you saw tractor trailers parked on the street storing dead bodies. New York City, you saw them open up emergency cemeteries and digging holes in the ground to bury people. Just the numbers in New York City were higher. Thank God that didn't happen statewide. Thank God. And anyone, this has been tragic everywhere. It has been tragic everywhere. But thankfully, Buffalo was not hit as hard on New York as New York City, and I want to make sure it stays that way. On the numbers, that's what that means. Have a happy Thanksgiving. You guys want to add anything?
Nope.
I'm going to give you this mask as a present. All the cool people are wearing this mask today. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you should wear it. I'm just saying, all the cool people are wearing, see?
I'm not.
Put on your cool turkey mask.
I like my mask.
Come on. There it is. Let's take a picture with the cool mask. Cool kid mask. Okay, guys, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Celebrate, but don't be a turkey. I never do yes or no. You know that.
Would you consider loosening testing restrictions on schools in orange and red zones? I know County Executive Brett Kuhlenberg is answering on
this. We have to figure out how, part of what I was talking about in the winter plan, vaccination, hospitalization rate, et cetera. We want to keep schools K through 8. Junior high is different, high is different. We want to keep schools K through 8 open, and we want to do that safely, which means we need to do it with a continuous testing regimen, or if they're closed, get them clean, get them reopened. We have to have enough tests to do that. So that's going to be a correlation of our testing capacity to our need. Obviously, the more tests you can do, the better. The more tests, the safer. If you could test every student in the state every day, that would be the optimum, right? But you can't. You just don't have enough tests. So we have to correlate our testing capacity with the desire to keep schools open safely. And if we have to make that adjustment, we'll make that adjustment. Thank you, guys.
I'm grabbing the wide shot.